Welcome to Season 2 of Awesome, the podcast where we talk about everything from faith, health, setting goals, and basically anything that is awesome. In this season, we are diving into the book of Romans, so grab your Bible and let's begin. Hi guys, and welcome back to Awesome. I'm so happy that you are still listening to this season. I hope you guys have been liking it. I've been really enjoying planning these episodes and recording them and promoting them. Because I love teaching people about the Bible and God's Word and just kind of how to live it out. And I feel like this is the first time I've actually truly done something like this. We are on Romans 7 today, which means we are officially halfway through, which is exciting. I hope you guys have been getting something out of this and learning just different techniques to digging into your Bible and just different stories you might not have known, because I know there's some stories in here and just some chapters I didn't really know anything about, which is really cool. This is the third time of me recording this intro, because every other time that I've recorded it, my dog has started barking. So he's not in my room anymore, but he might come in. So if there's barking in the background, that is what it is. Also a little disclaimer before we get into this episode. If you have not listened to the first six episodes of this season, I highly suggest doing that. I feel like I refer back to different chapters we've already talked about. So I think it's really good to have read the chapters and listened to the podcast episodes. Also, if you haven't read Romans 7, I would just suggest you doing it at some point. If you want to stop right the episode right now and go read it really quick and answer the four questions that are down below, go do that. Or you can do it afterwards. Just make sure you actually read it yourself, because I don't read through it. I just kind of talk about some things that happen, but it's still really good to go and read it. So yeah, I think that's all I needed to say before we jump right in. So let's get on to talking about Romans 7. Hi guys, I'm really struggling to record this episode. I just kind of keep going having blanks, or my dog was being super naughty earlier, but I'm gonna just push through. This is going to be the one that makes it. But like I said earlier, we're gonna be talking about Romans 7 today. And basically what Romans 7 tells us is all about the law of God, how we're freed from it, how sin is basically the reason why the law exists, or the law is the reason why sin exists, basically why this law exists, what sin does to us. We're going to keep talking about that, and just kind of the reason why we do some things. But before we jump in to that, I actually wanted to kind of touch on something we talked about last week, which was dead in sin, alive to God. That was one of my biggest takeaways from last week. And I'm actually reading the book Live by Sadie Robertson. And this morning I read it before I worked out, and she talked about life and death. And so I'm going to read this paragraph in her book, where she talks about kind of her definition of life and death. But when I use the words life and death in this book, I'm talking about something different and beyond the physical realm. I'm talking about the quality of the spiritual, emotional, relational force inside you, and whether that leads to happiness, hope, light, strength, confidence, purpose, passion, success, peace, and fulfillment, or whether it leads to misery, despair, darkness, weakness, insecurity, worthlessness, empathy, failure, and feeling restless and unfilled. So basically, when we are in God and we have life, we have happiness, hope, light, strength, confidence, purpose, passion, success, peace, and fulfillment. But when we are in sin and we are dead, we have misery, despair, darkness, weakness, insecurity, worthlessness, empathy, failure, and feeling breathless and unfilled with life. So when we are unfilled, that usually means we are in sin and we are dead. But when we feel fulfilled in life and happy, that's when we have life inside of us and we have God inside of us. And that is just amazing to me. And I thought it was really weird that I literally just recorded a podcast talking about this, and then I read what Sandy thinks about it. So I really suggest this book. I'll try to have it linked down below for you guys. I've just been learning so much from this, and I just wanted to talk about it before we jump into Romans 7. So now that we have read that, let's jump in to Romans 7 with the first 6 verses. So usually if I read you guys some verses, I'm reading them in my normal Bible that I use. But that's kind of confusing. And I just recently remembered that I have this book called The Young Reader's Bible. It's a revised standard version. So it kind of just puts stuff more in simpler terms. So I'm going to be actually reading through this today when I read you some stuff. So I'm going to be reading the first 6 verses, just because I think it's very important to read them in order for me to explain. So here are the first 6 verses of Romans 7. Do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during his life? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law and she marries another man. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. So basically, what it's saying, that's just the first 3 verses. I just wanted to stop and talk about them before we move on. It's saying that if you're married, you are bound to that person as long as they live. If you live with another person or like another, like if I'm going to talk from the woman's perspective because that's what I am. So if you're a woman and you get married, you are bound to that husband for the rest until they are not alive anymore. And then if you were to remarry after they died, you would not be considered an adulteress. But if you marry someone or live with another person while that person is still alive, then you would be considered an adulteress. I know this subject is very confrontational. I think that's the word. Everyone has different opinions on it, but I just wanted to describe what it is saying because I think it's really important to understand that in order to get this next part where it relates that section to the law of God. So it continues and says, likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we are living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. So, that's a lot, I know. It took me a while to kind of understand it too when I first read it. But, basically, what they are saying is that before we have God in our life, we are dead to the body of Christ. But when Jesus died on the cross and rose, we rose with him. We all rose with him. And we rose from the body of God. So now we are accepted into God's life. Jesus dying on the cross forgave all of our sins. And now we have also rose with him. And now that we are not dead anymore to God, we can bear fruit for him and we can praise him and worship him and honor him. But that's not easy because while we are in our flesh and we are humans and we're on earth instead of heaven, we have fruit trying to bear in us with evil and the devil and darkness and despair and all these bad things. But once we die and go to heaven, we don't have to worry about that anymore. And once we accept God into our life, we don't really have to, there's still going to be those things, but now we have God helping us defeat that evil and the devil. So once we accept God into our lives, we don't serve under those old written codes that tell us what we can and cannot do. And that are trying to trip us up all the time because God's there helping us, and now we have new life under the Spirit of God. And I just think that is so cool, and I just like the whole metaphor of that. We were dead to the law, but when Jesus rose from the dead, we also rose with him. And again, I like how he uses marriage as to help explain the law of God and how the law relates to sin and how marriage relates to sin and all that. So those were the first six verses. I thought they were really cool. So now verses 7 through 12 are sin's advantage in the law. So this is kind of where we're going to talk about why the law exists and how the law exists and all that. So Paul basically tells us that we would not know what sin was if we didn't know what the law of God is. I just want you to sit there and think about that. So we know what sin is and we know what the law of God is, but we wouldn't, if one didn't exist, the other one wouldn't exist. So sin exists because we have the law of God. The law of God tells us what is right and what is wrong and what we can and cannot do. So if we didn't have a law, we wouldn't know what was wrong and if what we were doing was wrong or right, because there would be nothing to base it on. It's kind of, I'm in government class right now, and we're learning just about like the Constitution and the amendments and the Bill of Rights and all that stuff. But if you just think about it before, because we're learning about how like the Constitution came to be and why it's a thing and all that. And we learned that basically people would just do whatever they wanted that benefited them, not really think about other people, because, and people didn't think anything about it because they didn't know what was right and wrong because we didn't have a government system. Nowadays, we know we have a governmental system and we know what we're doing and kind of like the whole background behind it. But before we had one, no one knew what was right and what was wrong, what we can do and can't do. So that's why you have to create rules. Otherwise, people are just going to do stuff to benefit themselves. And so I think that's why the law of God exists, because if we didn't have it, then everyone would just be doing everything and anything that would benefit themselves. And that's not what Christianity is about. That's not what a relationship with God is about. That's not what life is about. We need to do stuff for other people. Yes, we can do stuff for us, but I think we need to focus on other people more, because that's what God wants us to do. He literally gave us his only son to die on a cross for us. That was pretty selfless of him. Like, if you could only have one kid your entire life, are you going to give them up so they can die for other people? You're probably saying no, because that is, like, I don't even think we can comprehend that. And we're still here on earth doing selfish things while God did the most selfless thing, if that makes sense. So we know that the law or sin exists because of the law of God. Well, why did God give us a law? Like I was saying, we wouldn't know what was right and wrong if we didn't have a law. We need to have rules. So a question that I thought of while reading was, So what if we still follow the law, or does faith override it? So do we still, if we have faith, do we still need the law? Like, how does the faith and the law work together? Sorry, I could not read what my handwriting was saying. But basically we need both. We need the law and we need to have faith. We need to keep the law because it's not a burden. Once we accept God into our life, the law isn't a burden anymore because we understand it, and God helps us to not break the law and to not break his rules. Does this mean that we never mess up and we never break the law and we never break the Ten Commandments? No, we still mess up and we still make mistakes. But guess what? That is normal. I've already talked about this in a different episode, but when you are a Christian, you are not perfect. I'm sorry to bring it to you if that's your first time hearing that, but it's true. You are not perfect if you are a Christian. We still make mistakes. But if we learn from our mistakes, that's where your relationship with God grows. And I feel like I talk about that in every single episode, but I think it's because I'm so passionate about it. And it's something that I've just come to realize, and it just has done so much in my life once I realize it. So another thing I want to talk about is kind of how the Bible contradicts itself, even just in this book. So we're going to read in Romans 6:14, and then we're going to read in Romans 3:31, and we're just going to kind of see what those two say, and how they're different. So Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have domain over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So basically this is saying that sin shouldn't have anything over you because you are not under law, but you're under grace. So when you accept God into your life, you're not under the law anymore. You're just under grace, and you're under God's grace, and it's amazing. Well, then we turn back to Romans 3:31. And this says, "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." So, again, those are contradicting themselves. But I think Paul did this on purpose, because he's trying to tell us that even though we are under grace when we accept God into our life and we have God into our life, we still need the law. Because just because we're Christians and we have God in our life doesn't mean we just get to do whatever we want. We still need to follow the law, and we still need to have the law, so then we know what we need to do in order to have a relationship with God. Because if we don't have the law, we don't know what we're supposed to do. And I think that's literally the whole message behind Romans 7, is that we need the law, period. I could end the podcast now, because I think that's all Paul is trying to tell us, is that we need the law in our life. Even if we have faith, we have grace, and we have a relationship with God, the law is still important, because that's literally the basis of everything. You learn the law first. I feel like we learn the law and what it means to be a Christian before we even become a Christian. I feel like we start learning about the law in Sunday school, but then when we actually grow this relationship with God, it all comes back to the law, because that is your first stepping stone, your first step, your first ladder step, all that. So that was those verses. Now going to 13 to the end. These verses are labeled "Law cannot save from sin." So kind of going back to what we talked about at the beginning of this episode and at the end of last week's episode, sin works death into us. Sin's job, like one and only job, sin's job and the devil's job and evil's job, is to work death into us and to bring us further and further and further away from God. I want you to sit there and kind of meditate on that. And I want you to think of a time where you were doing something and you were enjoying it, but you felt like what you were doing was wrong and that you shouldn't be doing it, but you continued to do it because there was this thing in your head kind of just telling you to push away those bad feelings or all that. But then it was kind of like the angel and the devil on your shoulders, like your angel, which is like God, is telling you, no, don't do that. Like, that's, you're breaking a commandment, you're breaking a law, you're breaking, like, my trust, you're breaking all this stuff. Why are you doing that? You doing that doesn't bring you any closer to me. And then the devil is on your other side, and it's like, no, do it. Come on, it's so fun. Like, all your friends are doing it, all that. And I feel like I have so much experience in this, because I feel like I matured very early, especially when I started digging into my faith and all that, because I honestly don't like doing normal high school things. I'd rather come home and record a podcast and kind of work on a business and read my Bible and do Bible studies and wake up early and work out than do normal high school stuff, like all that. I feel like I've had to really work with myself with that, because not a lot of my friends are interested in faith and God and the Bible and all that. Like, I do have some, but not a lot. And so I've had to work with myself on kind of listening to that voice in my head telling me that I just matured faster and I'm different, and I need to accept that. Because, but I mean, if I don't accept that, then I'm just going to fall down into the deep hole of sin when I've already gotten such an early start on my relationship with God and kind of avoiding sin, that it's going to help me in my future life because I've got this early start on it. And I'm not letting sin work death into me. I'm letting God work life into me, because I know life brings me more happiness than death does. Something else I want you guys to think about is we don't die because of all the good things. We die because of all the bad things. People die because of sickness and diseases and just random reasons. Our good things, the good things we do in life, bring us closer to God, but they also bring us closer to a longer life. When you're happy, you're going to live longer. But all the bad things in life, they bring us closer and closer to death. And not a good death either. I want to read some verses to you guys that I thought were pretty cool. I'm going to start with verse 19. And it says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin which dwells within me." So we're going to stop there. So basically what it's saying is, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. We tend to do things we don't want to do just because they seem easier when we really want to do the good things, but they are a little bit harder and take a little more effort. So we just tend to fall down the more lazy route and do the evil things because they're easier. And then that leads to a sinning. Verse 21 says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." So when we're about to make that decision on whether to do good or to do bad, and we're kind of leaning more towards the good route, evil is still right there, super close. And we just need to work on moving past it and moving further away from it, because it's always going to be there. But we need to help ourselves by trying to move further away from it. And then the second half of verse 24 says, "Who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So who is going to help us get away from death and get away from evil and get away from the devil? God is, and Jesus is. That's literally like the only answer. That's the only way you can get away from evil, is by having a relationship with God. God helps us and he frees us from our sin. Whenever we do something good, evil is around the corner and ready to destroy it. But God is also around the other corner, ready to protect us and to save us from that evil. So imagine you're going down, like in movies, when they're trying to like go through this tunnel thing and they either have to go right or left. There's no straight. You either have to turn one way or the other way. If you turn one way, the devil and evil and death is going to be around that corner. But if you turn around the other way, that's where God and heaven and Jesus and happiness and health and all this is. So you are standing in the middle right now. And you need to make the decision of which path you are going to go down for the rest of your life. It's going to change, but right now you need to make the decision of what path you're going to go down to today. Okay, guys, I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Since we are halfway through the season, I'm going to kind of change up my end segment. I used to answer the four questions that I always put in the description box that I want you guys to answer, but I feel like I talk about them throughout the episode and I'm just repeating myself. So basically what I'm going to be doing is I want to say a prayer at the end of every episode and just kind of pray over you guys, because I feel like that's the perfect way to end these episodes. So yeah, that's what I'll be doing from now until the end of the season. So yeah, will you guys all join me in prayer? Dear God, thank you for this amazing day and allowing me to record this podcast. And please give this episode to people who really need you and need to hear your word. Please help the people listening to understand what I'm saying and to make connections to their own life and how they can take everything that I talked about in this episode and actually do it in their own lives and grow closer to you. God, I pray that you show people that you are in their life and that all they need to do is just call out to you and you will be there, and that you forgive our sins and that you gave your only son to die for us. God, help us to live out everything that I talked about in this episode and to continue to read your word and you to continuously show us how much love you have for us and everything that you do for us. God, I just pray over everyone who is listening to this episode and that you will be with them and help them accomplish their dreams and their callings that you are giving them. God, I pray all this and anything else that you see on anyone's heart that is listening to this, or their mind or their soul, whatever they need, I just pray in your name. Amen. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please let me know, either by commenting on the Instagram post that I post for this episode, DMing me, leaving a review on Apple Podcast, and I will see you guys next week. Bye! Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Awesome. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcast, sharing this episode with a friend, and subscribing.